Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power,
power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
Anticipated today's world and told us how the story will unfold. That's why biblical prophecy is so important. It is not just doom and gloom. Each prophetic verse in the Bible is another brick in the tower of hope that God wants to build in our minds and hearts. Biblical prophecy never leads us down dark pathways of chaos and cataclysm. It leads us past chaos and cataclysm to Christ Himself, who is over all victorious. Yes, those without Christ should feel ill at ease when reading God's plans for the future. But those who walk with the Lord should feel our heart leaping whenever our mind learns something more about the glory which shall be revealed. So where do we go from here? Don't be afraid. Don't study biblical predictions and ask, as one man did, where's the hope in all of this? There is no reason to wring our hands or lose our nerve, but let the word hope remind you of the attributes and characteristics of God which will carry you safely in His timing to His celestial city. Our hope is anchored by our Lord's holiness, there's the H, and secured by His omnipotence, there's the O. It's as high as His preeminence, there's the P, and as long as His eternity, there's the E in hope. Holiness, omnipotence, preeminence, and eternity. So, sanctify the Lord Jesus in your heart and be ready to answer those who ask you for a reason for the hope within you. You can trust the Lord Jesus in times like these, and that's the prophetic truth. So why don't you stay with us today for a great broadcast on the promises and predictions of prophecy, and just how we should be thinking about that and processing all of that in today's world. I'm glad you've joined us for Missionary Echoes this morning. Stay tuned for a great broadcast together.
My hope is in the Lord, who gave Himself for me and paid the price for all my sin at Calvary. For me, My only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness.
Father, I thank you that as Jacob just sang, we can have a hope in the Lord that sustains us and keeps us when life can get rather cataclysmic and very difficult at times. We praise you for the hope that you give us, and we are grateful this morning to express that to you and to reassure our listeners of all that is available to us through the blood of Jesus Christ and the experience that we can have with you living and reigning and dwelling within our innermost being. We pray that you will undertake for the needs of this day. We again commit this Lord's Day to you. We're trusting you for your blessing throughout the day in our efforts of worship at the church and in the life of each of our listeners, whether they are able to get to church or not today. You know the burdens on their hearts. You know the problems they are facing. You know the afflictions they suffer. You know the challenges that lie before them. And we just pray that your will might be done, that you will bless and encourage each one by your presence and by your faithfulness today. And may we exercise our hope in you and find your grace sufficient and the devil no match for your grace and your power at work in our lives. Praise your wonderful name. So have your way in the furtherance of this broadcast, and we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
My the precious Lamb of God, there is no other fountain so sweet. It has washed away my sins and gave me peace and joy within. My hope is in His blood. Every hope that I have here in this old sinful world is the time shall come to die. The treasures of this world won't mean a thing, but the joy of knowing Jesus will banish all my fears, for He took away.
hope is in the blood of Jesus, just as the Donald Quayles family sang. Well, we're about to begin Sunday school this morning at the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. We will enjoy the hour together and then the morning worship time at 10:30 this morning. You are welcome to make your way to the house of God at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, where we will enjoy the fellowship of one another and the opportunities to learn from God's Word and to worship the Lord. We have an exciting day before us. This evening's service will be a youth emphasis service with Pastor Joel, no doubt, bringing some highlights from the youth recently doing a missions trip to our church in Rome, New York, and putting on a vacation Bible school for students there and helping in various ways. Also, this week had been kids camp at Hanover, and we will probably hear some exciting news concerning that as well. So you don't want to miss tonight's service at 6 o'clock at the Lebanon God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street. But it gets even better. Tuesday, we will be welcoming a new pastor and his family to the Lebanon God's Missionary Church, joining the staff here, giving us another worker to help us in our labors here to serve this area and to serve our people. Reverend Scott Loper and Caitlin, his wife, and their dear little girl, Charlotte, will be coming on Tuesday. And then Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, our evening service will be a mission service with Seth and Melody Yates. After the service will be an ice cream social and a welcome to the Loper family that will take place in our Family Life Center. So Wednesday night is going to be a big night for us again this week. Thursday will be our annual conference at Penns Creek, and Friday will begin the annual services of Penns Creek Camp. So these are some exciting things before us this week, and we trust that you will be able to be a part of some of those, if not all of them. Then certainly that you would pray for us, that God will bless, and it'll be a great week in the Lord. Thanks again for joining us on Missionary Echoes. Stay tuned as we enjoy some more music and a message from God's Word.
They heard God say, "Have you considered my servant Job? He's one who's faithful in all that he knows. Job lost his family, his land, and all his wealth when he wouldn't curse God. Job lost his health. Job's cries could be heard from the ashes where he lay. Through the pain and sorrow, Job had to say,
'My hope is in the Lord. I will trust in him. At my door, my hope is in the Lord.'"
He sat in the chair as the doctor broke the news. It could be a week, a month, or maybe two. Cancer has spread, death will find its way. There's nothing we can do, there's nothing I can say. Then the young man raised his trembling hands as his eyes filled with tears. You could hear him softly say, through the pain, the fear, "My hope is in the Lord. I will trust in him and him alone.
Oh, death knocks at my door. My hope is in the Lord.
Though fear surrounds and it seems there is no hope, there's one thing I'm sure of.
The gospel according to St. Luke chapter 21 and verse 28, Jesus said, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." I cannot deny that my mind has wandered a lot since the ruling by 5 unelected U.S. Supreme Court justices in 2015, in which they legalized gay marriages for all of our 50 states. Praise God for all who continue to stand against it. Of course, numerous pastors and churches had already given their approval over the last number of years. These have fallen for the subtlety. They have taken the bait. What the LGBTQ crowd have now made known is that they are not just looking for so-called marriage equality. That is not their end goal. They want, more specifically, to silence all those who oppose their choices, including the church. These are troublesome and uncertain days, but I have found myself smiling and wondering just how soon Jesus is coming back. In 1949, the magazine Popular Science predicted computers in the future may weigh no more than 1.5 tons. In 1977, Ken Olson, founder of Digital Equipment Corporation, said, "There is no reason anyone would want a computer in their home." Bill Gates said in 1981 that 640K ought to be enough for anybody. Making predictions is risky business, isn't it? Unless you are God. According to John Wesley White, the coming again of Christ and the end of the age occupies some 1,845 scripture verses, and each one offers sure and certain hope for the Christian. Just consider these promises. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Jesus said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And behold, I come quickly." All kinds of signs are pointing to his coming. Vance Havner said, "We are not just looking for something to happen, we are looking for someone to come. And when these things begin to come to pass, we are not to drop our heads in discouragement or shake our heads in despair, but rather lift up our heads in delight." Jesus said, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." This is the promise. The greater part of the 21st chapter of Luke's gospel is filled with startling predictions of the Lord's return. The account makes exciting and occasionally even frightening reading, for the author has gone into great detail to describe the things to take place in the heavens and upon the earth. There is danger that in reading these sensational predictions we might fail to see the unfolding of progressive truth concerning the people of God. Of equal importance with the coming of Christ is the effort that Christians must make to be ready to welcome him. Viewed from this angle, Luke's narrative divides into 4 sections. Number 1, my testimony in Christ. "Settle it therefore in your hearts," Jesus said, "not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." There's a testimony that we have of Christ. The Savior warned his followers they would be brought before magistrates, that even members of their families would testify against them. There would be suffering, and in some instances even death for the Christian. Charges and countercharges would be made against them. And if the saint permitted these things to harass his mind, there would be many sleepless nights. Therefore, Christ urged his followers not to worry, not to plan ceaselessly what defense to offer, what things to say. They were told to remain in a state of receptivity, to listen carefully for the unmistakable whispers which would come from God. They would be given instructions. They would know when to give their testimony. They should be ready to speak as soon as the Lord gave such guidance. How else could their captors hear the matchless stow of grace? Each prisoner would become a preacher. Each cell would become a challenge. History was made in some of the Roman courtrooms. There were times when the accused became exceedingly eloquent, when even hired lawyers failed to refute the amazing testimonies of the prisoners. And as it was, so must it be. We wait for the coming of the Lord. The future might bring trials to many members of the family of God. We must remain calm and be ready whenever the Lord directs to give testimony to the faithfulness of God. We must never be ashamed. We should never be afraid. So first was the testimony of Christ. Second is my confidence in Christ. Jesus said, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess your souls." There is a limit to what the enemy can do. Three young Hebrews discovered this, for they looked at King Nebuchadnezzar and said, "We're not careful to answer thee. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." You remember that from Daniel's writing in chapter 3. Those young men obviously differentiate between their souls and bodies. They believed God could actually deliver them from the fire, but in any case, even though they died in the furnace, they would at least be delivered from the power of the king. The great fire would only sever the fleshly bonds which tied them to the earth. Those Hebrews were a fitting type of the faithful who will bear testimony during the closing days of this age. We journey to mansions in the sky. Our confidence is in God. Even though our outward man perish, the inward will be renewed day by day, and in that sense, not one hair of our heads can be hurt. Such confidence remains unshaken, for perfect love casteth out fear. There is my testimony of Christ. There is my confidence in Christ. Notice thirdly, my desire for Christ. Jesus went on to say, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, for your redemption draweth nigh." The saints look for their Lord, not only because his coming promises deliverance from a ruthless enemy, but because they desire to be forever with the Lord. Then the dreams of a lifetime will be realized. Then all that was purchased through the precious blood of Christ will become a reality. Salvation lifts the soul from the depths of sin to the heights of unprecedented glory. "Beloved," said John, "now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." The cross brought to us pardon. The indwelling Holy Spirit brings to us cleansing and power. But the coming of the Savior will deliver from the very presence of sin. Then, in the fullest possible sense, our redemption will reach absolute perfection. It is hardly possible to understand all that this will mean. But when the signs of Christ's appearing become visible, we can lift up our heads with eager anticipation, knowing God's plans will be nearing fulfillment. Hallelujah. Fourthly, we notice my likeness to Christ. We've had my testimony of Christ, my confidence in Christ, my desire for Christ. Now my likeness to Christ. John was correct when he said, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." Luke records that Jesus said, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come upon the earth, and to stand before the Son of Man." Sound doctrine is nothing unless it leads to sound living. Don't forget that. Sound doctrine is nothing unless it leads to sound living. The man who proclaims one thing and practices the other is a sham and a hypocrite. All Christians must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but Paul speaks of some who will be ashamed before him at his coming. There has been much disputing as to whether or not the saints will go through the tribulation. Some affirm the church or part of the church will be caught away to meet the Lord in the air. Others state this is conditional, that the unfaithful must reap the reward of carnality and will be judged as unworthy. Perhaps there is immature thinking on both sides of the argument. We should strive to be worthy not because we desire to escape anything, but because we yearn to be like Christ. If it were necessary, we should prefer to be in tremendous pain and to be like Christ than to escape the pain and remain unlike Him. It is in all a matter of love. If we adore Him truly, everything else will fall into proper place. Let's be ready, for Jesus is coming soon, my friend. God is about to say, "Jesus, go bring your children home." And I say to us, what a day that will be. I trust this has been an encouraging broadcast to you today. Just think, Jesus is coming soon. God bless you and have a wonderful week.
In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.